نعم ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد المعدن الجود والكرم، اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله الفضل، اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، دوشي
today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to us given one more day of Ramadan. Allah has bestowed to us one more day of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace, His blessings. In every action of Allah there's some wisdom or other, some point of wisdom or other. The day belongs to Allah, the nights belong to Allah, Ramadan belongs to Allah, the moon belongs to Allah. Everything is Allah's. Our job is just servanthood. Whatever actions He does, then whatever actions we do, we hope that Allah Ta'ala accepts that. Because in reality, the whole of Ramadan is full of blessings, alhamdulillah. From the first day to the end day, every moment, every hour. But even then we don't know that from these moments, which moment is extremely blessed and preferred by Allah. That one moment we could all attain success. We could all attain success. We just need to do our work. Keep focused, even if you didn't do it in the whole of Ramadan, but just get one moment or a few minutes where Allah Ta'ala likes what you do and you attain success. So it could be that from some lover of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he had a desire, Allah, he called out to Allah, and due to His blessings that we also get success. So my experience of life is, my experience in my life is, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Hazrat Nur al-Marqada, my honorable and respected teacher, I had his sohbat, his company in his room, in Umrah, on Hajj. Quite some years I had his company, but in all my life, there was one journey, even in that journey, a few moments were such in that journey that I consider that my whole life's benefit and success was based on that. So much barakat for Yuzad, the blessings at that moment I saw and I attained. And even until now I have that taste, enjoyment that maybe I would not have got anything else that can compare. Because you all, colleagues on this line, and you're traveling on this journey, that's why I share these events with you. My objective is nothing else. So the human being, when he follows some guidelines, then he gets benefits. And when a person's on a journey, he learns the lessons and he gets strength of iman as well. So suddenly it happened that maybe I've shared this with you a few times and I will continue to share this event because it was such an event, an experience that you could say, alhamdulillah, gave me a lot of benefit. Not benefit, but my success, you could say, that's where everything initiated. It was Ramadan, similar month. It was extremely hot climate at that time. It was the final fast, the last fast. And you know, food and drink was very, very simple. Simple level. When we don't know about suhoor, we don't know about iftar, what we're eating. We're very tired. The whole Jamaat, our congregation of students, we had all come on a journey, long journey, and we had just caught the end of Ramadan in the Holy Land. And it was the 29th day, just like today is the 29th day. And obviously, everyone's ready to look for the moon. Everyone tries that maybe tomorrow's Eid. And we were also doing this. Everybody does this to look for the, hopefully that. And that time we were very hopeful that let's hope tomorrow's Eid will be good, because we're very tired. Lots of, extremely tired we were, the students. So Hazrat Sahab's schedule, we had to follow them. We used to follow Hazrat Sahab's schedule, our teacher, his schedule, his program, his pattern. So on the 29th night after Taraweeh, we were waiting on the 29th day, and we had finished, and then we were waiting to hear that hopefully maybe it's not Taraweeh tonight, that tomorrow's Eid. We were in the Haram and no news came, and so everybody stood for Taraweeh, and Taraweeh started. Sometimes it happens that even in the morning after Fajr, sometimes it's announced. It's happened to me once in Madinatul Munawwara. Then the night, there's no news, and then at Fajr time, and everyone's embracing. What's happening? They said, oh, the moon was sighted. So whenever the moon is sighted, and you get the signs, then they make the announcement. So they said, let's pray Taraweeh. Maybe the news will come, and there'll be Eid tomorrow. We were hoping. That was the hope. But after Taraweeh, there was no news. Hazrat Sahab sat down in front of Baytullah, according to his manner, and that there was no situation that he's going to get up. He was going to stay there, as per his habit. So everyone just spread out a little bit. All the students spread out a little bit. And then we carried on until Tahajjud time came, then Fajr time came, and we had to keep the fast. Extreme tiredness. Imagine how tired we were. Okay, then we had to pray Ishraq, so after sunrise, Hazrat Sahab's habit to stay there. Imagine your hal at that time, your condition. So we thought after Ishraq, what we'll do after sunrise, Hazrat Sahab will get up, then we'll go and rest a little bit. So still a fast that day. So Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, at that time, he turned around after sunrise, after Ishraq, and I was sat there close by. And when I saw Hazrat Sahib, when Hazrat saw that people are here or there spread out, then Hazrat Sahib, he pointed out to me that Farooq Sahib, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us a great treasure. Let's do another Umrah. Oh, Subhanallah. We thought, can you imagine that after that? How can a person do Umrah in that state? That Hazrat Sahib was so weak, our teacher. Look at his amazing achievement, that how he gave us encouragement and determination. That's it. Then I hinted to the brothers, the students, put the ihrams on. Let's go, Masjid Aisha. And everyone put their stuff together, pulled themselves together. Anyhow, we all came out from the Haram, Masjid Haram from Babud Wida, where Hazrat Sahib used to sit. And they used taxis, used to park up there. We ushered the taxi. Everyone sat in the taxi. We arrived to Masjid Aisha. Then we put the ihram on. Everyone, and then we stood. The sun was out. We started Umrah. We're fasting, but Subhanallah. And Allah's grace and mercy, Allah extended that another day, Ramadan. So this taste and enjoyment of this Umrah cannot share with you. No tiredness. We weren't exhausted. We weren't sleepy. No distress. Rather, mercy upon mercy came at that time during the Umrah. Rahma upon rahma. And Hazrat Sahib's affection and love we experienced in the Umrah. We were with him. We did the Umrah with him. We did Sa'i, Safa Marwa. We did Tawaf with Hazrat Sahib. It was a unique experience that I cannot share with you. Emotions at that time. Allah's raham, mercy, Allah's blessings at that time. So sometimes this happens, that what you don't get in the whole Ramadan, you get right at the end of Ramadan. Yes, but the human being should put out his cloth in front of Allah like a beggar, you know, and beg from Allah. But Allah knows best. Maybe you're doing an action even right at the end time that was accepted in the court of Allah. Maybe. So we don't know that which action Allah likes, that He's pleased with. We don't know. Our job is keep doing, keep working, but the action that's accepted, brothers, it's so powerful an action, it becomes the action, that deed, that the power and the energy of that deed, the individual cannot understand that how that person attains Allah's rahmah, mercy, and elevates the person to high status, just one deed. And it looks apparently to be a very minor deed, small deed. So this action, the action that's accepted by Allah, what's that connected to? What's that related to? That amal, that action, to create such an amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in reality, He's given us this whole month of Ramadan to develop those quality deeds. Because the essence of Ramadan is this very point. That somehow the individual, the believer, starts to practice valuable deeds. And the value of his deeds should increase. And that amal, those actions that are valuable, you attain them by developing your taqwa. Your taqwa. Yes, just one action with taqwa. If you do one action with taqwa behind it, then what's inside that action? It's lillahiyat inside the action. In other words, it's for the sake of Allah, the action. Yes, mashallah. This is very valuable, what I'm telling you. Listen carefully. That action, which is solely for Allah's sake, it's done. One, for example, salah is valuable, dua is very valuable, durood, all actions are excellent, but the effects of the deeds, why don't we experience them? Why don't we attain them? Because they don't include the lahiyat. They're not done for the sake of 100% purely for the sake of Allah. Allah wants that whatever deed you do, whatever action, even if it's a small, small deed, minor. One, for example, a person gives charity, £500, £1,000, £2,000. And one person gives only 10 pence and he gives sadaqah. 10 pence. That 10 pence, the value, if it's sincere, it's much heavier and weighty than all the other amounts I mentioned. Yes, that's how great is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the time of the hijrah, the migration, there was an event that took place. I'll share that with you. And this event, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, he included this in his kitab, a hadith. He narrated this hadith. Now tell me how important this must be, this lesson. What happened was that during the migration, when it was about to occur, then people, obviously the people who loved the Prophet, they started to travel. And they heard that the Prophet has left, they took their goods, their luggage, they left their home. Hijrat, hijrah, migration from Makkah to Medina. They heard the Prophet has left, so they also followed too. And when people were leaving, departing, then in Makkah, at that time, there was such a group that used to love each other, a couple. There was a couple who loved each other, believers. And they had promised that we will marry each other. They used to like each other. There was attraction. And they both became Muslim. The girl and the boy became believers. But they had love between each other. So, and they discussed that we will do nikah with each other. We'll get married to each other. So what happened was then that during the migration, the girl, the sister, she left for Medina. She departed. She went on the journey. And the boy, he stayed in Makkah. He remained in Makkah. Yes, just like I said to you yesterday, the ishq, love, you know, the flame of love is very intense. So that boy, he was obviously desperate. What shall I do now? And somehow he sent the message to the sister, to the girl, that we had a promise of nikah, and you've gone so far. And I'm here still in Makkah. So how will we get married then? How will we get married? So the girl replied, I'm here and I'm staying here, and this is where I'm going to stay with my Prophet. I cannot come back. If your love is true, then why did you leave me in the first time? Why didn't you come? Okay, that's, if your love is true, then I'm here. You can come and demonstrate the love. So the Ashik, when this news arrived, he said, fine, I have to marry you, I like you. And this event, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah has narrated a hadith. Yes, the first hadith that he presented. We have to understand this. So, the boy said, okay. So he put his goods together, his luggage together. Obviously, the disbelievers at the time were doing oppression, dhulam, inflicting loss. So he saved himself and he arrived to Medina. And he was a Muslim, he was a Sahabi, and he had iman, radiyallahu anhu. So when it was Salah, after he joined Salah at the back in the rows, then the Holy Prophet ﷺ, after Salah, his blessed face, he looked towards the Sahaba with his blessed face and he stated this hadith. This became a hadith because the Prophet ﷺ stated something. It was recorded. He said that that person who for the sake of Allah and his Rasul migrated, in other words, he migrated for the sake of Allah and his Prophet, and that person who migrated for nikah and for the dunya, then he has migrated for nikah and he's migrated for dunya. And he said again that every person's deeds, the basis acceptance of all deeds is based on intention. Actions according to intention. This is the first hadith. Yes, we know this hadith, isn't it? Innama amalu bin niyyah, that every action is according to the intentions. So clear cut is explained that you've done this migration. Who did you do it for? For Allah and His Rasul. No, you've done the action, you've migrated. But the objective was nikah behind this. Your purpose was marriage. You didn't come for the other reason. So that's not khalis, pure. It's not the value. Why? Even though the people who migrated, the maqam, those who migrated with the Prophet, the darjat, but his deed, it didn't have the ikhlas, it didn't have lilayat, it wasn't solely for Allah's sake. It was became zero. Scaled down to zero. Yes, he don't know where's that deed gone, where's it disappeared to. So on this hadith, the first thing that we have to consider here is the whole deen, the whole basis of our deen, religion, all our deeds we perform is based on lillahiyat, for the sake of Allah. Even if a minor thought comes with any action, and this is a very pinching point for the believer, even if there's a minor thought, and especially for the Sufi, he's given this tarbiyah development, the student, the tarbiyah is given this for ikhlas, for sincerity, that any action you do, don't mix your desires with that. That's it. Yes, it will never arrive to the completion, the action. It won't bear the fruits. It won't bear the fruits. You will not be successful, not in this world, nor in the hereafter. If you do such an action, or you've done many, then that's a big thing, in which there is khalis, purely, it's just Allah's sake, for Allah's sake, and there's no other intention, no other purpose, no other thought, then the value of that deed is very great indeed. In Sahih Muslim and Sahih Bukhari, I'll share with you another event, that what does that action become? Three friends, and they said, let's go on a journey, the three friends, and they were looking for a job or business, enterprise, let's go to another city. So they embarked on the journey. This is narrated in Sahih Muslim and Sahih al-Bukhari. This event is narrated. So those friends, they set off on the journey. They were traveling. Whilst they were traveling, rain came, and it was a severe climate. They saw a mountain, there was a cave. They said, let's take refuge quickly in the cave. So they went into the cave, and then due to some reason, rain, whatever, a big boulder rolled across and closed the mouth of the cave. They trapped inside. No one can leave there, no one could save them. Just death is the conclusion, really, isn't it, in practicality? That's it. They thought, that's it. We're stuck. So all three thought that, oof, what should we do? I don't know what to do to get out of this trap. So they conferred, consulted. They said, let's do an action, all three of us. They said, let's look for Because up till now in our lives, right up till now, there is there any action that was done solely for the sake of Allah that we did? Let's present that. Let's present that. Good point this, isn't it? Good consultation they did, yeah? That if there's any action we can say to Allah for the sake of Allah for this action and we do dua, then Allah Ta'ala will accept it. That was their consultation. The question doesn't arise that, for example, people say, that take that deed out that you've done. It's no difficulty, is there no hardship, no problem that you won't get the solution from this. So they said, they think, all three said, let's each of us think. One said, yes, I remember an action of mine. What was the action they said? He said, that my parents were old, my mum and dad were old. And Allah gave me the grace and blessing that I understood the respect of mother and father, adab. Kama rabbayani saghira, Allah says. Kama rabbayani saghira. So my habit was I had wife, children, but I gave preference to who? My parents, my mother and father, their khidmat, their service. They were daif, weak, my father and my mother. So my habit was, regular pattern was, I would come. First I would wash, the ada of the goats. Yes, you know, like he'd take he would milk the goats. He said, I'll do that. And after doing that, whatever, no child, whoever's asking, first and foremost, I would heat that milk, make it fresh, and I'd present it to my parents that you drink. SubhanAllah. Have you ever done this in our lives? Have we ever done this in our lives? How much time in our life we've wasted, mother and father, they're old in front of us, everything. And never we had the tawfiq to serve them. Yes. And my parents are so, that doesn't listen to us. Parents say this, he doesn't do this, he doesn't listen to us. We regularly hear elderly parents say this. To this extent, that it's become common now. That it's become a habit now. Mother somewhere else, father somewhere else. Where are we in the world? And the life is overwhelmed us. We don't realize where the life has gone. But, subhanAllah, these are two guarantees for paradise. Mother and father. Let's understand this. They are the guarantee for Jannah. Whenever you don't get a solution and your father does dua for you, you'll get success. Because it comes from his heart. So khair. He said that I served my father, my mother, and he spoke about this. He said that one night it happened that I got late in from coming back. It was difficult for me to go. I couldn't get there. So he said, when I came late, my mother and father had gone to sleep. And the children were awake with hunger. Quickly, dad, give to us, heat the milk. And he put us all to the side, the children said. He said, no. He said, first I will give to my parents. They said, they've gone to sleep. He said, if they've gone to sleep, they've gone to sleep. But their turn is first, not you, he said to the family. So the children, they were crying, they were struggling. They went to sleep as well. Then he said that I heated that milk like I used to. I stood near the pillow, near the bedside. Maybe the eyes will open and I'll give milk to my parents. Say, SubhanAllah. Have we ever done this, Ibadah? And press their legs. Huh? Have we ever served them? Tell me. I used to press my father's legs to give him ease. I used to do this. I made that my habit. I used to go in hiding secretly, and secretly he didn't even know. I used to go and I used to press his feet. He used to change his feet. I remember the shape of his feet. Up to now, I used to press his feet. I was a young child at that time. I used to press his feet, and this is the habit that I got that I'll share with you another event in between. Another event. The service of the father. These things, they benefit in the hereafter. This also was the time of Hajj. My father was on Hajj. And I said, I will go and do Hajj with you. So I ran from here. Then Hazrat Sahib also came for Hajj at that time. My father, so it's Nur ala Nur. My father came for Hajj and my Shaykh came for Hajj. So first, I took my father and I quickly received him at Jeddah. Then I went and presented my father in the service of Hazrat. I had to get ijazat that I can serve my father. Even this you have to get ijazah from the Shaykh. That the father of the father is the Shaykh. SubhanAllah. So I took my father to the Kaaba. Remember this? And Hazrat Sahab was sat there looking at the Kaaba, and my Hazrat Sahab was happy to see me and my father. Beautiful thing. He said, it's a great thing, Hazrat Sahab said, that to do this for your father. So khair. So I said, Hazrat Sahab, I want to... I didn't say this. Why should I say this? Hazrat Sahab said to me himself, that go and with your father and do tawaf. I said, okay. Otherwise, I wasn't going to leave there. The Hazrat Sahab gave me the direction, so I got the recommendation, Alhamdulillah. So I got the thawab. So I said, come on father, and I took my father. And by chance, there was a lot of rush, so we went upstairs. So we did one rotation of Kaaba, and he got tired, and my father said, I want to rest. I said, lie down. And well, my habit of my young life, I remembered suddenly. So he was a bit drowsy. I went to my father, and I started to press the feet and my legs of my father, like I used to. And the first hand I put it, suddenly he got up, my father. And he dragged his foot back, his leg. And I got scared. I said, well, have I disrespected my father? What's happened here? I said, Walisa, what's happened? He said, no. No, don't press my legs. I said, why? He said, what's the reason? I said, what's the reason? He said, no. He said, you are the Khalifa of my Hazrat Sahab. Look how much adab came. How much respect. I'm doing khidmat and he's thinking something else. Said, no, this would be disrespect. You are the Khalifa of Hazrat. Please, you don't press my legs. My father said this to me. So these khidmat service is a great action. In this, everything is there. This is ikhlas, sincerity. So father is father. Whether he's a zulm to you, beats you, scolds you, but he is the father. You have to respect that. This is our test, a challenge. Mother is mother. Why? Because we look at mother like mother, we look at father like father, we look at the sister like sister, we look at wife. But what's in this? Allah says, all actions according to intentions, the whatever actions you do, do it for Allah's sake. Yes, why are you doing it for your father? Why are you doing it for your mother? This is the instruction, the order, that they are the means, your parents, to get close to Allah. If you are doing their services for my sake, Allah says you're doing it. And that's why this in between us put the condition. And there was another person, and there was a father, he was complaining, because he is the father. So if your test, Allah's put a challenge, Allah's given the order, the due to the order, if you don't want to do it because you don't have a good connection with your father, good relationship, why are you not serving? You're not serving him because your connection is not good, your relationship is not strong, you're not doing it. But if that time you do it, then you're not doing it for your father, you're doing it for who? You're doing it for Allah's sake. And this is what Allah wants. Who is the father? Who is the mother? Who is the sister? Who is the uncle? Allah says, I am the one you're doing it for, all of this. You understand the point I'm saying? Yes. So this is our lesson. And there are people like this. That, for example, the mother could be selfish, father could be selfish. Everyone in the dunya is selfish. Everyone wants things done for themselves. Why? Because every man has a request, a need due to a reason. So for us, that we want Raza Ilahi, we want Allah's pleasure, and the parents and our relatives are the means for us. That if you do the action out of love, for example, the Sahabi, he went in the love of that girl on the journey. And he said, okay, the Prophet's gone, says, I'll go there also, I'll do hijrat, and I'll also get the success, and I'll get married. But his purpose was that he'll get the marriage with the girl. So he thought he'll get both. Do you understand what I'm saying? So wherever you mix both things for the sake of Allah, to attain Allah's nearness, where you mix two things, then that amal gets blown out, like fused. Yes, you go on umrah. Oh look, I'll go on umrah, I'll do some business as well, end. Innama, Allah says, all actions according to intentions. Oh, I'm going to pray salah. Oh, whilst I'm praying salah, so I'll do this action as well. Then that intention is contaminated. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going to do this action. Oh, I'll mix this with this and this will happen as well. So all life long, Allah Ta'ala says, eventually when a person will wake and will say, Allah will say, show me no other deed. Just show me one deed that you did for my sake, Allah will say. Just show me one deed you did for my sake. Yes? All life long, have you done that? Why? Because what is this? This is the desire of the human being thereon, which is all nafs, our desires. That action, the nafs doesn't detach the amal solely for the sake of Allah. It doesn't detach it from mixture. That deed, it doesn't let it become separate and solely for the sake of Allah. The nafs always wants to be mixed in there. Yeah? Always the desires are mixed with the deeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? So all, take the biggest deed. One Sahabi on this point, Imam Bukhari brought the first hadith in his collection, that whatever action you do, ibadah, worship, all the hadith you hear after this, but first understand this point, remember that if in these actions it's not for the sake of Allah, and all of us, we serve the mother for the mother, we love the mother for the sake of the mother, we love the father for the sake of the blood relatives, Allah Ta'ala puts the blood in, but say la to all the relationships and say, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. This action. This is the learning. That's why I stated to test us that when your father says, shave your beard, when your mother says, don't do parda, hijab, when your father says, what are you doing here practicing deen, then here Allah stated that here for religion, any practice of the deen, you cannot obey anyone's order. Whose order do you obey? Allah's order is first. Any love, no love can overwhelm the love of Allah. But because there is love in the world, we have love for other things, we have relationships, and we have agendas. All actions we do religiously, we have other agendas and contamination in those actions. Otherwise, if our actions are solely and sincerely, the amount of deeds we practice, so many deeds we practice, but in Sahih Bukhari Muslim, this hadith is that this is deen. That make your deeds pure. Otherwise, all life long, you're wasting your time if your deeds are not pure. No action will be accepted. All life long, put the deeds to one side. Yes, he said, my whole life I got no action. He said, I'm not doing it for the Father. He said, I'm stood there, and if I did this, understand the point. He said, that man, the first person example, I'm just giving an explanation of what he was saying. He said that if I did this, then remember one point, that more than the children, the father had the love. He said the person, for example, even for the children, a person sacrifices his father out of the love for the children. Do you understand this point? Yes. Because the child has come from your blood. Yes, the child has come from your blood. So this is the masla we have, the problem we have nowadays. That we leave our mother and father, but it's very difficult to leave the children. Yes, nafsiyat, I'm telling you there's emotions that we have attached. So here, look at the point here. He said that I should have really served my children first, but he left his children and he stood for his mother and father to serve them. So this didn't mean that his mother and father, that his service for his mother and father was more important, that he's doing for the sake of his mother and father. He wasn't getting the reward for this. He got the reward that he proved here that no love for me is greater than the hukum is this, the order is this, the mother and father serve them. So he implemented that order of Allah. So here, the sacrifice he gave is that he sacrificed the love of his children, because he didn't let Allah's order go lower. He allowed his love to be compromised for his children and he obeyed Allah's order. Do you understand the point I'm giving it? So think here, our mother and father, how are we with them? So how much we take benefit from the parents? Yes, and we don't do any action unless we see our benefit in the action. We don't take any steps unless we see any benefit in the action. I'm talking about deen Islamically, not worldly, that's separate. That's a separate point. Today for the deen, yes, you know all the production lines of the deen is for the same reason. That's why until today there's no genuine leader. Imam Ghazali, how many are there? Imam Abu Hanifa, how many are there? Imam Malik, how many are there? Imam Shafi, how many are there? Duplicate. Just one each one of them. Because their actions and their deeds all were for the sake of Allah. Pure. They were unique. Their reading, learning hadith, their actions. They didn't know I would become famous. They didn't know that their name would spread far or I would be remembered. Nothing. When they were practicing, implementing, when they were writing hadith, then their imagination, there wasn't even an atom's weight of thought that they would become known after that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, otherwise Imam Bukhari wouldn't be Imam Bukhari today. Imam Abu Hanifa wouldn't be Abu Hanifa today. Their life, the start point was when they took the pen and they started learning and recording solely and solely for the sake of Allah, they did those actions. So my brothers, all life will be a waste for us. All our struggles will be a waste. They say, La to everything, every order goes behind. Every order of the people of the world goes behind. Everything goes behind in the queue. Anything, and especially Islamic action you're doing for the deen. Hey, I'm sat in front of you. I'm speaking to you. I'm discussing with you, if in here, this action, there's any other intention, that all of my effort is going to waste. It becomes like water, liquid. It will just trickle away. Allah says, show me and bring me one deed in your life that will open the door of Jannah for you. Allah says, I don't ask for much. One deed, show me one action you did for my sake. Allah says, then the doors of paradise are open for you. Yes, you're teaching, reading, running madrasa, doing this, khidmat, hosting dhikr adhkar, becoming Sufi, becoming peer, sheikh, teacher. What is all of this? These are big deeds, great deeds, and everybody wants that deed to save him. But why doesn't it? As a Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti, why didn't he, how did he become what he was, and many hundreds of thousands become Muslim? He used to recite the kalma, people used to follow him, repeat. Why? Why? Why did Hazrat Ali Murtaza that he create such a great jamaat here, right here? What sunnah did he revive in this day and age? Is it easy to revive a sunnah practice? Is it easy to revive the sunnah? The biggest, this right now, the part of the deen, whoever revives the sunnah right now, he has revived the whole of Islam. That's the achievement. And in such a place where the deen is being eliminated, whose achievement is this? The wali Allah, he stood up. Allah's wali, he stood up. And he demonstrated it today in this day and age. From thousands of heads, the imamah, hundreds of thousands imamah people wear. People are, children are aware what is imamah. The way they came to this country to learn something else, not deen. Do you understand what I'm saying? The who has Ali Murtaza Ramdeh, his love, his affection, he prepared such a person. Go and do the work of the deen there, he said. As a Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti, he was nothing before. He used to teach hadith in Medina. As the Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti, the Prophet gave him direction, go leave here. He prepared him and told him to leave to do the work of the deen. Yeah? So he went. So he prepared him, then he gave him the permission. What's the permission? What was the preparation? His preparation is what? What word do you say? Anything, if one sat in front of a human being, if you speak about the sunnah, then what should be in that? Lillahiyat, solely for the sake of Allah, purely clean for the sake of Allah, no other intention. Do you understand what I'm saying? Any building, no buildings made with charity, with Allah's fadl and karam, with, I'll tell you the miracle of my sheikh. The miracle of my sheikh. I started from one room. It was a dark room. I sat on my own. The door was closed. My door was closed. I said, Hazrat Sahib, you instructed me here to spread the sunnah here in this country, to spread the deen. I should do this. You gave me the hukam instructions. I'm sat alone in a room in the dark. Who's going to come here? I thought. That was the beginning. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a person who's graduated from a madrasa, Shaykhul Hadith. Which language will I go to? Masjid? What speech will I give? But I had tarbiyah, development from my sheikh. I would believe that whatever words have come from the tongue of my sheikh, it will definitely happen. I had belief. Yaqeen. SubhanAllah. This was tarbiyah, the development of my sheikh. Do this, when you do any work, lillahiyat, your whole world, you can revive one human being. One scholar can be, he is heavier than the whole of humanity. One scholar is heavier than the whole of humanity. Ilm is a great thing, knowledge. If you've got ikhlas, sincerity, one hadith you share with sincerity, you can change the hearts of humanity. Doing dua, you don't need to switch off the lights when you do dua. Yeah, 30 minutes long, half an hour, 45 minutes, you don't need that long to do dua. You don't need that. Just one dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That's enough. When you do tawaf, is there any greater, is no greater dua than this that's recited in tawaf? And the pious predecessors have stated that on this dua, the whole world, Allah Ta'ala sealed the whole world with this dua. Hasana is such a great world in this dua. Allah Ta'ala said, for the world and the hereafter, hasana, that you cannot give a translation of the weight of this. You can't mention the meaning. This is such a valuable world. Hasana. You can't understand the weight of this word, what value it holds. And in both places we're saying hasana, fi dunya and wal akhirah, we're saying hasana to Allah. So in other words, there's no thing in the dunya that after this dua, Allah Ta'ala will not bestow to you the goodness in the dunya. There's no need. When you ask from Allah, hasana, and I start the action, hasana, then why should I run to other people begging then after that? I don't need to plead to other people and knock on their door. I don't need to do that. I shouldn't do that. Yes, my Shaykh Hazrat Ali Murtaza said, Khabadad, how dare you, he said to me. Tawakkal, rely on Allah. You need to start this work of the deen, and the deen work will spread when you do it. And I came out the room, I see today, I look at the collection, the gathering, that maybe there's no greater gathering than the gathering we have in Bolton. 8,000 people came, they were doing dhikr behind me. Subhanallah. Tell me. And all of them, they were there from the 8,000. I can say guarantee that all were wearing imam. All were wearing imam. Yes, where did this come from? How did it? Nothing's impossible. Why? Because Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, had sincerity. And today if we have sincerity, then one lesson, my first lesson is Mizad Allah, that I give on the heart, I swear by Allah, it will open all the doors that are shut. One Sufi shayr who passed away, he said, Alif Allah Chambe Di Bhuti, Murshid Dile Chalai Ho. That one plant, Sultan Bahu, he planted and the whole world was given the benefit. Do you understand ikhlas, sincerity? So just one deed. He said, one deed. What was that deed? That I serve my mother and father, not for this reason that they are my mother and father. Lillah, he said, it was that no love for any relative can overwhelm. The biggest love is for Allah's sake. The purpose is for Allah's sake. And my father, he gave me nasiha, great intellectual person. He was a wali Allah, my father. He gave me nasiha. So at that time when I was pressing his legs, he gave me nasiha. That you are pressing my legs due to my love, you are doing this. But in reality, this is the fact. That what you should do is, you need Allah's love. And if you want Allah's love, then you are the Khalifa. You are the Khalifa, deputy of Hazrat Sahib. So look at me in that regard, not as a father. Oh, what a great message he gave to me. What a great message. Mother. Father is also like this, isn't it? Great. Yes. If it's a normal father, yes, please press my legs, get thawab, press my legs and feet. But he didn't know. Sheikh said that. He said, no, Sheikh, he said, he looked and my father, he pushed me back towards the relationship of my teacher. He said, not for me, do it for Allah's sake. He said, then this will become thawab for you. Otherwise, by pressing my legs, you will get nothing. Suppose this, lillah is everything for the sake of Allah. Everything is due for Allah's sake. Done for Allah's sake. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when I started on this journey today, you can say, we got four khankas. Have we ever asked for charity? Have appealed to you? It looks like these four khankas are running. None of them, the nizam, the running, I don't have the money. I'm not aware how they're running at all. That's the confidence I have that my murids, they can give their life, but he will never cheat in the khanka. I've got the confidence. Well, I close the eyes, I speak, I say one thing, and the order is given, and end of the day, the implementation is done. Why? Because the tarbiyat, my sheikh behind me, gave me the pat on the back, with the khlas, lillahiyat, for the sake of Allah. That was a practice. And otherwise, what do I say? That did I go there to learn salah, or did I go there to learn Quran? No, I learned that lesson at the feet of my sheikh, through which I get the connection with Allah. Yes, until you don't do this, that's why the root cause of the whole deen, the root is taqwa. Fear of Allah. That's why for taqwa, Allah Ta'ala has dragged us here. Isn't it? The Quran says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, qunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Allah says, fear Allah, go to the people of the sadiqeen. This is the practice of Ramadan. Yes, so what's the solution? Allah says, after amanu, Allah says, oh you who believe, remember this. After iman, alladhina amanu, first Allah says, iman, belief. After that, the second point Allah says, taqwa. Ya ayyu ladheena amanu kanu yattaqoon. Allah says, alladheena amanu wattaqoon. Allah says, ala inna awliya la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Do you understand my point? So when you have this iman, belief, faith, when complete iman comes, then immediately the biggest thing after iman is what? That which you get darajat, levels, manazil, jannah, everything you attain you get from what? The next deed is what? Is taqwa. So after iman, next step, must is taqwa. Taqwa. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْضُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah says, this is true success. Yes, I give good news. Allah says, good news I give to you. فِي الدُّنِي وَالْآخِرَةِ. فِي الدُّنِي وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah says, in this world and the hereafter. In this world, you're in a good way in the hereafter. Just do every action for the sake of Allah. If you pick up tasbih, for the sake of Allah. You go to the sheikh, for the sake of Allah. You serve anyone, if there's la has to be in front of everything, do la first, shun the dunya, Do it for the sake of Allah. Otherwise you'll get nothing for your deeds. I'll tell you the hadith now. Back to the hadith. He said that I stood there and I stayed all night long, and in the third part of the night, and it was extremely cold. My children cried and went to sleep. And hey, who's he doing this action for? Do you understand the lesson, or have you not understood the lesson today? Who is he doing this action? This man, who's he doing this action for? For his father? Who is he doing it for? Allah. Yes. But people say, oh look, he's having, serve your mother and father. How much thawab you get? How much thawab you get? People say, what do I say? How do I explain to you why you should serve your mother and father? Do you understand the lesson? Yes. Serve your mother and father. He wasn't doing it for the sake of his mother and father. He was doing it for the sake of Allah. He got the result. Yes, Allah's order, serve. Allah, I'm doing it for your sake. Otherwise I would have given my children, because my children are more beloved to me than my parents. They came from me. That's the principle of what people do in the world. Yeah. They leave their parents and they focus on the children. Yes, they migrate, they leave countries, or I have to earn for my children, Abaji, and inshallah I'll help you, I'll help you. They don't see the father, old, who will help them, assist them. No, for the children, for their bread and their money. Someone's going to Saudi, someone's going to Dubai, someone's going, and nobody knows about the parents after that. What's happening? Why? Because I'm going to earn for the children. If you interview anyone, everyone will say the same, because they don't have the love for their parents like they have for the children. So the action that he did, for whose love did he do it? He did it for Allah. He said, Allah, Allah did this for you. You know. So he's saying, Allah, you know better. You know my reference. Allah, you know best that why I did this. You only know my intention. I'm about to die, he said. But Allah, this action, who did I do? I didn't do it for my father. Did I do it for my mother? Did I do it for the children? Who did I do this action for, Allah? Allah, he's asking Allah. Allah, I did it for you and you know best. Please Allah, remove this boulder from the cave, mouth of the cave. Allah, imagine the power of his request, of that deed. If we got one deed like this in our life, yeah, then think for yourself. Allah says, the first reward of this deed, what shall I do? Allah says, I make him my wali if he does it for my sake. How does a person become wali? From this. That's how he's recognized, the wali Allah. Allah inna wali Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So why? Because after iman, you have to have taqwa, sincerity. So he saw, as soon as he referred Allah to this event, he said to Allah, I signed this event over to you, Allah. You know why I did this, Allah. Please remove the boulder. And then Allah Ta'ala allowed that boulder to move slightly. Then the next man came and presented himself. Is time finishing? For dhikr, I'll quickly summarize. The second man, he also did the same action. He also presented an event. If I tell you the event, the time will pass. A lot of time will pass. So then in that, it was totally for the sake of Allah. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim have narrated this hadith that I'm presenting to you, sharing with you. This is a Musnad hadith, confirmed. What is it teaching us? It's teaching us that live your life in the world, but live your life for Allah's sake. Live your life for Allah's sake. In Ramadan, if you want to act, do it for Allah's sake. If you want to do dhikr, do it for Allah's sake. If you want to take a shaykh, do it for Allah's sake. What do? We are all wasilas. Everything we do, we are looking for Allah. Yes, all of these wasilas we are doing. He said himself, وَبْدَغُوا wasila. Allah says, look for a wasila to get to me. وَبْدَغُوا wasila. You take your father, you take your shaykh, you take the Quran, you take the masjid, ilm, knowledge. All of these are wasila, means to Allah. But they become a wasila at that time when you're saying, Allah, this wasila is for your sake, not for my stomach. Otherwise that stomach, the education will come out for the sake of your stomach. Then it won't be Islamic, it will be thieves who will come out. Thieves will graduate. They will sell the deen. They will give wrong fatwas. They will make fights and quarrels and disputes. Yes, not for Islam, in the name of Islam. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So when the third then also presented his, so when the second person presented his event, he said, Allah, I did this for who? Allah, you know best. It was for you, isn't it? I did this action. Then Allah moved the boulder slightly more across. Then the third presented himself. Allah also will select a deed I did. They were pious and he thought, I got an action. And he presented to Allah. He said, Allah, and then Allah presented, they said, the other two presented in front of Allah so we can get out of this cave. So he presented it. It was a great, the final two events also were fantastic, excellent examples. He presented, Allah, you tell me that such a great action. Can anyone do this for anyone's sake? Why did I do it? Allah, you know best, Allah, my Mawla, that I did this for your sake. I wouldn't be in deficit. I wouldn't be in a loss in my life, Allah. I did it for you, Allah. So I thought it's khair, good, it's for Allah's sake. They went and when you ask for forgiveness, ask for Allah's sake. When you take somebody's feet, do it for Allah's sake. Until Allah is not in between, then your action, you can never succeed. Why should I ask myself? Why should I do this action? Why need do I have to do this? Why should I do this? I'll never do this. When you do for Allah's sake, immediately you will bow and submit for Allah's sake. If I say, wear mama, no, there's no need to wear mama, I'll wear it one day, don't tell me. But when someone says to you, for the sake of Allah, you have to wear this, suddenly you'll wear that, imama. Yes, because the answer has come to you. Yes, and you know that it's a great action, it's not about joking. Yes, if they call you backward, or they mock you, and they laugh at you, you've got one answer, I'm wearing this for Allah's sake, my friend. Wearing the dhoti, yes, I'll wear it for Allah's sake. Will you do this? I'll do it for Allah's sake. So much confidence will come into you. Because until you keep saying, oh, do this, wear this, asa, what will he say? What will that person say? What will that person say? They will laugh at you, joker, you're this much thawab, reward. Thawab, shawab, forget counting reward. Rather, do it for Allah's sake. That's it. What thawab? We don't look for thawab. What are you going to do with reward? That's if we don't get Allah's connection with thawab, then what's the point? We want Allah, Allah. That's what we want. Allah's nearness. Do you understand what I'm saying? The connection. Yes. So I drop now everything because now, what's the time today? 8 o'clock? 8 o'clock, okay. So let's do a little bit of dhikr. So what's the summary? You got the message today? What's the message of this lesson? Whatever action you do it for Allah's sake. And when you do that, even if it's a minor, small scale, it becomes so strong that it will move the landscape. It will, even if it's a small action. Look, today, such a madrasa in Deoband, isn't it? And all the branches, people run around, give us charity. But the person who put the foundation in, he put the foundation with sincerity. Yes, Qasam Nanotwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Where did he start from? On a straw mat under a tree. He sat under a tree. On a straw mat. Look at the people that have graduated, of their names are recorded. Think about them. That what great personalities came from there. Today, big buildings were made. We're begging for charity. Tired. We don't know about Ramadan or Hajj. Just... Oh, but one person, have you forgotten how he initiated? Tell me. The one alim, if he was graduated proper, today wouldn't be a hal in the around us, our condition. Our Makkah wouldn't be sold, our Medina wouldn't be sold, Baytul Maqdis wouldn't be sold, no place of ours would be sold. They all sold for what reason? Because we don't have anything. Because every action of ours is for the sake of dunya. Our fighting, quarreling is not for the sake of Allah. Our disputes are for the sake of countries. We dispute and quarrel for the sake of countries or oil or money. This is the title we put of Islam in front. Islam, no one can quarrel in front of the name of Islam. Who can clash with Islam? They know that. That they are liars. They're not going to clash for Islam. They don't even know what Islam is. Yes. Just one shake. We've just taken the shield of Islam. There's no Islam there. Islam, the person who is struggling for Islam, subhanAllah, they have no weapons. They just take the wood of the trees. Forget that. They used to break the wood of the trees. They used to do amal on the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and they used to be victorious. Just one sunnah is breaking off the miswak from the tree. Just the one sunnah they implemented, they did fatah, victory, miswak. Did they not, when they used miswak, get the victory? And what a great battle that was. In the history of Islam, all the other people, the opposition ran away. So this is not the point. We are empty, hollow. Why are we hollow? Not from ibadah, not worship, not Quran, not madrasas. From lillahiyat, we don't have it for the sake of Allah inside us. Everything's for the sake of dunya, stomach, desires. Yes, we want to elevate ourselves to the highest, to show people everything, whatever we ask. Yes, business, enterprises, for the sake of dunya. If only such a candle was to light, that light would see the intensity in which is written, all actions are for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah. So my brothers, Ramadan is departing. So Allah has given us this day extra. This Allah has given us such a great extra day that maybe in this you will do an action for my radha, my pleasure, oh human being, that I'll give you the whole of Ramadan for that. Maybe you'll make a niyyah, oh the Quran I've read, everything I've done, I don't need anything. Allah, bless you, be pleased with this, Allah, you be pleased with this. That from his tongue in the night it comes out these words, then the whole of Ramadan I will accept for this person. I think maybe Allah has given us this extra day of Ramadan for this reason, that don't do any ibadah. Just do one action, sit down and say, Allah, whatever I'm doing, I will do from now for your sake. Whatever I have done before this, not for your sake, Allah, I give sadaqah, I reject, I throw them away, and I will dust down my wujud, I've wasted my life, Allah, I will come to you with nothing, I want to dust down myself inside, outside, everything from today I will do for your sake only. You understand the lesson? Okay, recite the Rusi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi salatu wassalamu alayhi. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع وتب علينا أنت الصغير صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور يرشي زينة فرشه وأهله صحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب سبحان ربك العظيم سلام عليكم آمين.